You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. It's Tuesday, and commentator Gary Joyner is here. Today, he takes us to Tyler, Texas, turning his historical focus on the largest Confederate prisoner of war camp west of the Mississippi River during the Civil War.
During the U.S. Civil War, both the Union and Confederacy were forced to create facilities to house prisoners of war. Some became famous or infamous, like Elmira in New York, Rock Island in Illinois, or Andersonville in Georgia. Much has been written about these places, mostly negative. You may be surprised to learn that there was a POW camp in our region. Camp Ford near Tyler, Texas, held Union soldiers and sailors who were captured in actions along and west of the Mississippi. Eventually, a satellite camp called Camp Gross was created south of Camp Ford. The early inmates included Union sailors who had been captured along the South Texas coast and in southern Louisiana. Compared to most Civil War prisoner of war camps, Camp Ford was perhaps healthier. It had good drainage, and although there was the typical overcrowding, most of the men were treated better than those in similar facilities. Camp Ford didn't include records of the living, walking skeletons we often hear about at places like Andersonville and Elmira. Men were not particularly mistreated. And Tyler was considered to be so far removed from the action that most men felt that it was useless to try to escape from it. At Camp Ford, men were ordered outside the confines to clear brush and cut trees. Using these materials, they made their own huts. Supplies for camps in the East were limited by the Union blockade and military actions, but supplies for Camp Ford were more readily available due to its location in Texas with its abundant resources. Overcrowding there did not really occur until the Union mounted campaigns to capture Shreveport in 1864. The battles of Poison Spring and Mark's Mill in Arkansas and Mansfield and Pleasant Hill in Louisiana yielded large numbers of prisoners and ensured overcrowding. Diaries from some of the inmates, particularly officers, portray the treks from the points at which they were captured to Tyler. They describe conditions within the camp and, in at least one instance, an escape. One officer even created a census of people that he knew were there, when they arrived, what units they were with, and if they died or were moved, or what happened to them as far as he knew. During the Battle of Mansfield, some regiments were captured almost intact. Over 1,000 men were marched from DeSoto Parish in western Louisiana north to Shreveport, and then overland on roads to Tyler and then to the camp. This was not an easy task, and the men were driven like cattle. One interesting fact identified from several different local sources was that some officers of regiments were separated and held in Shreveport for a few weeks. Since Shreveport was also considered to be far removed from the main action, it was felt that escape was unlikely and they were allowed to walk around the town. They were certainly under the eye of Confederate guards, but they were not incarcerated. To keep large masses of men from arriving at Camp Ford at the same time, many were held in a makeshift prison in downtown Shreveport. Today, Camp Ford continues to be a historical research laboratory for historians and archaeologists. The park, which is open to the public, features a kiosk with extensive graphics detailing the history of the camp. It includes a trail with interpretive signage, a picnic area, and a reconstructed cabin. Camp Ford is located on U.S. Highway 271, 0.8 miles outside Loop 323 in Tyler. It is open daily from dawn to dusk, and admission is free. Whether you go literally or virtually, you'll enjoy a visit to Camp Ford to see history that matters.
Commentator Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport and comes to us each week for History Matters.